Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Silky Harvey. She is the founder of the Inner Hippie Club and her Inner Hippie Books. She's a Reiki master, Reiki drum practitioner, chakra dance facilitator, and HAO animal healing graduate. She uses her energy healing skills to help women release their inner hippie, that carefree teenage feeling before life got serious. Silky, welcome to the space.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning to you.
Yes, it is 12 o'clock.
It is. So it is 7 p.m. here on the East Coast, and it is 12 a.m. there in the UK. So I am so grateful that you're willing to be up this late for us.
Oh, well, as a musician, it's a normal time of day for me.
So there we go. So Silky, so after kind of reading that that bio, can you tell us, there is so much more about you, but could you give us a little bit more information before we dive into the conversation?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I've got a very diverse path in life, as you may imagine from the bio. I left school at 19 and everybody expected me to go to university because I was like an A-level student and A-grades and all that stuff. But that just wasn't me, and I had other ideas. So I got a backpack and I toured right across Europe, then ended up in the UK because I'm originally from Germany, and met my husband here and decided on the spur of the moment to stay in the UK to my family's distress. And here we are 30 years later together, and we've been playing music in various bands for over 20 years. And then after 20 years, I had to go through a career change due to health reasons. We couldn't continue the music on the professional level. So I ended up working in corporate as a financial translator. Didn't like that very much. Then moved on to becoming a freelance translator, set up my own agency, just to find that even though I had freedom now as an entrepreneur, I was still working for the same people and the same type of pressure. So then about 4 years ago, I had a complete nervous breakdown and burnout and had to really pick myself up from ground zero. And that's when I realized that there is so much more to life than just work, work, work. And I remembered my second passion in life, which is energy healing. And I decided to pursue a career in that instead now. And here I am.
Wow. We are going to have a lot to talk about. Quite a path you've had, and makes for rich conversation. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So I want to welcome the people that are here live. We appreciate you being here. Being live, you can type in any questions or comments to be able to participate in the conversation so we can see it. So thank you so much. So Silky, what I'm going to do is give you a would you rather question first, and then we'll dive into our first question. So are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so would you rather live in the clouds or underwater?
In the clouds. Definitely in the clouds. Because I just love to have a wide view. When you're on top of a mountain, that's the most exhilarating thing in the world. You can see for miles and you can see way beyond the horizon. And that's very, very important to me because when you see the clouds and when you see the sky, you can imagine infinity out there and you suddenly realize that you're part of something much, much bigger, something that we as human beings can barely imagine. And you feel just part of the bigger picture and connected to the universe. So definitely the clouds for me.
Oh, I love that. Such beautiful descriptive words. Yeah, there is something to be said about standing on a mountaintop or, you know, a higher view and seeing beyond. It's so true. There's that, I don't know, I feel like this awe, like, oh my gosh, there is something bigger than us. There has to be something bigger than us to have created this. And we're part of it.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And that's one of my innermost beliefs as well. We are all a manifestation of the universal energy. You know, the universal energy is inside of us and we are also part of it. It's like one big recurring cycle. I mean, that is also one of the fundamentals of Reiki teachings, that we don't just use the energy out there. We are actually part of the energy and we just know how to work with it and channel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know that because I do Reiki as well. I haven't been doing it as often, but when I have, you know, family members and stuff have been like, are you tired after you do, you know, after you give offer somebody Reiki? I'm like, no, I feel invigorated, honestly. I don't know if you feel that way as well.
Absolutely,
I'm sure you do
absolutely.
Feel that way.
I'm the same. Yes, totally. I mean, I really look forward to giving Reiki sessions, particularly in person. I've really been missing that though in the last year, but because when you've got this direct exchange with another person, it's almost like you're getting a Reiki treatment at the same time.
Yeah.
You're not just giving the Reiki treatment, you are also receiving it. So yes, I do feel invigorated after a session.
Yeah, because you literally feel like you're just a vessel that it's just being put through. The energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's dive on into the first question. And here we go. So, Silky, how do you define creativity?
Creativity for me is the process of creation. I mean, it could be literally anything. I don't associate creativity just with the arts. Like the general perception is creativity means painting, singing, dancing, that kind of thing. But to me, creativity is much more than that. It's any kind of thought process that thinks outside the box and by doing so arrives maybe at a new result, a different result, because you have explored new path. You've been going down the new avenues and you've tried to explore something entirely different, what other people may even find a bit strange, but you've had the courage to go there and just try something new. So that's creativity to me, I guess, in a nutshell, having the courage to try different things to arrive at a result from a different angle.
Love that word, courage. And you've used that a lot in your life. Do you feel like you've been courageous?
Sometimes yes, other times definitely not. I mean, yes, looking back on my life, I have done some very courageous things, or what people would say courageous, but at the time, it didn't really feel courageous to me. It just felt like the natural thing to do. And only when I would sit down and think back would I think, ooh, that was actually rather risky. So yeah, and then other times in my life, I've been really, really scared of simple things that shouldn't be really difficult. So it's been a mixed bag.
Yeah. It's interesting, the whole retro perspective, isn't it? Or retrospect. There we go. I don't know what I just did with that word. But yeah, at certain times it's just kind of like, well, yeah, I just did that because that's what I did. What's the big deal? When other people are just like, their minds are blown, like, oh my gosh, you did that? That's crazy. You're like, what's the big deal? And then other things, it is just a whole perception, isn't it? Because we then see things that we think of that we would think they're just like simple, no big deal, but there's some kind of a trigger or create some kind of anxiety.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes we're not even aware of what those triggers are. And it certainly has happened to me on various occasions that I think, oh, well, that's no big deal. I go into a situation and then suddenly I'm absolutely shaking with fear when things are really happening because something has triggered some old memory or maybe even an ancestral wound or something that I didn't even think of at the time. And I got triggered, and then suddenly all these anxieties come up. And then at the time, you just have to do your best to deal with it.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, because we may not have had the vocabulary back when it was happening, but then as you dive into these worlds of more understanding, like more of the world of energy healing and these kind of perspectives of, paradigms and ancestral healing and all of this stuff, then it starts to make kind of more sense where you're like, oh, that's where that was coming from.
Absolutely. And most of my life until I decided to go full on into energy healing, I was like most other people without a clue about these things. And at the time, when you are in a situation, you just try to deal with it, but you haven't necessarily got the words. But that's where I find energy healing has been very empowering because I used to think in my life before the energy healing that when these situations were arising and I was suffering anxiety, there was something wrong with me, and I couldn't put my finger on what was wrong with me, so that would make me even more anxious. But then, since becoming an energy healer and learning about all these things, I suddenly completely understand, and I'm thinking, no, I wasn't nuts after all.
So true, doesn't it? I mean, you do feel like when I was younger, as young as 8, I had panic attacks to the point where it took me to the emergency room. I'd have my parents take me because I couldn't breathe, and there was so much anxiety and things going on, and it happened for long periods of time until I started to get more of a handle on it, and when I did, and then there was like other things that were kind of going on, just very shy and this whole blushing thing. And there was just like a lot of things that seemed very out of my control. But then when I hit my 20s and I started to kind of gain more awareness, it wasn't the energy healing was always interesting to me, but I didn't have like a full grasp of it. But I started to kind of just step into more confidence and learn certain things like, okay, if I stop breathing, then I'll pass out and then I'll get my breath back or I won't. Like, I'm not gonna let it take me over. But it took time. It wasn't, but I felt like I was going nuts.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, at the time when these sort of things are happening, I think even when we do know about the causes. Obviously, when anxiety takes over, there comes a point when there is no rational thinking, and then you just have to go with the flow.
Yeah, it's a good word. No rational thinking. You do. When I got to a point of doing like professional development, so I taught art for, you know, like 30 years in lots of different kinds of settings. And one of them, it was with kids and adults, and one of them was professional development. So working with teachers who were regular classroom teachers and art teachers. And when this first came up, I was kind of like, seriously, you expect me to get in front of these other adults and talk to them? And I would turn many different shades of purple, and it wasn't like a pretty shade. It was very blotchy and purple and various shades. And but I learned how to kind of approach it with that flow, and I'd kind of draw attention to it myself so people weren't sitting there concerned about me. And I'd say, look, if my face turns multiple colors, I'm not going to pass out. It just kind of happens. And then people laugh, and then we're over it and we move on.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes the best way of just tackling the situation head on and then getting on with it. I've been finding that myself too, because sticking your head in the sand and trying to ignore a situation definitely makes it worse. So sometimes the quickest way to get over a situation is to just like close your eyes and like pray for the best and go for it.
Exactly. It's so true. Sticking your head in the sand, it really doesn't do very good. Maybe just very temporarily, but not on a permanent basis.
Exactly, exactly.
So tell us a little bit more. So I want to go through a little bit more of your history, in the sense of, so when you decided not to go the traditional route and you're traveling through Europe, tell us, you know, whatever you want to touch on with that. Tell us about the rock and roll. If you always played an instrument, if that was something new, curious to hear.
I learned to play the organ at an early age. I had one of them typical 1970s air organs as a kid, and I was quite proficient on that. And in general, always very musical. I mean, my grandfather taught me from a very, very early age the basics of how to play a guitar, how to play an accordion, how to play a zither. He himself was a very musical man, so he transferred that love for music into me from a very early age. And when I met my husband, we decided we wanted to start a rock and roll band because we were both heavily into the 1950s and 1960s at that point. We tried to find various band members, just for the life of us could not find a bass player. So my husband, being a guitarist, he said, right, there's only one thing for us. We buy a bass guitar and I teach you how to play the basics. And I thought, oh, it's a bit different. A bit different from playing an organ or a piano. So well, fair enough. Then I did learn my very first three chords, A, D, and E, basically the 12-bar blues. And that's when my husband said, right, we're ready, we're going out, we're doing our first gig. And I said, are you absolutely mad? He said, well, if you're going to practice forever, you'll never be ready, so we might as well go out now. And we played an entire night, an entire set in A, and the people loved it.
Wow. I love that. So if you're like, you're not going to practice forever. I mean, it's just exactly. Never going to happen otherwise. What an amazing attitude.
Yeah. Well, I must admit, I was more or less sort of pooping myself. That's maybe a very, very mild way of putting it on that night. And I said to my husband, well, what if I get it wrong? He said, just remember one thing. If everything goes wrong, just hit one note. And it's the open. A, D, and E is the three open strings. He said, that's all you need to know.
Oh, my God. So did you say that you stayed in A the whole time?
We stayed in A for the entire set and played but every rock and roll and blues we could think up in A.
Can you give us some perspective? How old were you at the time?
I was 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this is like, oh my gosh, I mean, how perfect is this? I mean, everybody listening, this is like true fear. I mean, you are scared to death, but you faced it. Like you did it. There are people that would step away from that and be like, you're not getting me up there. Forget it. Like, we're done. But
yeah.
You like, how did that feel after you were done?
I think I celebrated for almost a whole week inwardly. I really did. I mean, I was feeling 10 feet tall.
Yeah. Did you outwardly celebrate, or was it mostly inward?
Well, the day after, we did go for a meal out, so that's very rock and roll.
Okay, so here you had this pivotal moment. So then how long were you on the road for after that?
On and off with breaks, about 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but 20 years, but it wasn't always in one go. There were periods in between when there weren't any gigs, and then we were picking up on it again, because it's sometimes quite hard to get the work consistently, so it's always been an up and down, but we have actually earned a living professionally for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So what were you doing for yourself on those times when you weren't getting gigs?
Just basically finding part-time jobs, you know, doing all sorts of things. I mean, one of my favorite jobs outside the music during that time actually was selling ice creams in an ice cream van down in Cornwall, which is a beautiful place of the world. Lots of beaches, you know, beautiful weather. And I was down on one of the big beaches in Newquay, famous surf resort in the UK, and selling ice creams all summer. That was cool.
God, I mean, who doesn't smile when they have ice cream in their hand?
Exactly.
I mean, people are coming to you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You get to see some real sights when you're selling ice cream on the beach, especially on the surface beach.
Like what?
Well, there's always something going on the beach, you know, all these carry-ons between boys and girls and people having fun, but also like the boisterous lads coming up to the van. Mm-hmm. The best one I had once, one decided to have a complete change of clothes right in front of the van just to make sure that everyone could see it.
You're like, okay.
Yep. Right, we've seen things that nobody should be seen, yeah, but you can have an ice cream anyway.
Oh my gosh. So this was, I'm getting a vision in my head of what kind of ice cream. So this is this the ice cream that was in a cone, or was it the kinds that were in, like, had, you know, paper around them that were already, you know, you just pulled out of the freezer?
No, it was the proper ice cream that you squeeze into the cone, you know, the soft whippy ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. When we're down at the beach, so here in Jersey, there's, and this summer, it was just kind of making me think about it again and smiling, because we got to be at the beach for a week. It just had been a little while. And since childhood, there's a, they call it like the Good Humor Man. So which has the pre-packaged ice cream, basically. Sometimes there'd be the custard trucks, but they come up to the top of the dunes and then they ring a bell, so you know that they're there, and then mm-hmm. go back to their truck and wait for people to come. So hearing that bell is just such a Pavlov's dog, you know, childhood Absolutely. Memory where it just brings a smile to your face.
Yes, I had my jingle as well. I used to always have the most embarrassing jingle in the entire ice cream fleet, which was Bridge on the River Kwai.
You're like the most embarrassing one.
Yep.
Oh
Everybody
my
else
God.
had things like the entertainer or the usual jingles. I get Bridge on the River Kwai in my allocated van.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so here you have this like interesting time that's a happy memory. So then let's move forward to this translation that you were doing within the corporate environment.
Yes, yeah, so I said after about 20 years, unfortunately, my husband got quite ill and we had to just give up the idea of professional music because it's just no longer possible health-wise. So obviously had to look very quickly for other ways of paying the bills. And one of my only other skills I have, because I never actually got any vocational qualifications, is that I'm bilingual. So translating was the natural thing to go to. And I was very, very fortunate in the way that my very first application as a translator was accepted for one of the big four. I was working actually for one of the major auditing firms in the world in the Netherlands at the time at headquarters in Amsterdam. But even though it was a very good job and it definitely helped us out a lot at the time, it's just not my scene. I mean, going from the rock and roll lifestyle and suddenly having put on a suit and sitting in a marble and glass office all day long, pretending to be serious, that was rather hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like one of these pivot points in life when life happens and it presents itself, and you're like, okay, so problem solving or whatever you want to call it, thinking quickly on your feet. And you were lucky enough to you looked at your skills and got this first opportunity, which you were grateful for. And then you're like, no, this really isn't serving me and I don't feel fulfilled. So then you moved on. Tell us about the next step.
What the next step from that was to use my skills and go self-employed, because 3/4 of the translation industry is freelance anyway. In-house translators are quite rare to find. So I decided to move away from the corporate world and set up my own translation agency. And that was fine in the beginning because I was my own boss again. Because after 20 years, I was very much used to being my own boss. And it was cool. I could work from home. I didn't have to put the suit on. I could like work in my tracksuit again. But the main problem was I was still actually dealing with the same old people. So in a way, I was no longer in the office, but I was still in the very same corporate environment, the same nasty deadlines, the same pressure. So apart from my immediate environment, nothing else really changed.
So interesting. But it's kind of like listening to your story, it's so much of like a scaffolding. It just really built on itself, because here you left that, you got what you needed at the time after the music, weren't happy, then you kind of segued into entrepreneurship, doing what you were doing before, not totally happy, but then you took a jump into this whole other world. Tell us about the Inner Hippie Club and Reiki Master and all of this, because this is like where you really connected with yourself, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. In my early 20s, I got attuned to Reiki at some point, because basically I didn't really have a big interest in it, but my mom had a friend who was a Reiki master, and at the time, the music was going a bit slow and work was going a bit slow. So she said, oh, have yourself attuned as a Reiki practitioner, and then you can earn a bit of money on the side. Well, I did, but never really sort of picked up on it. it just wasn't the right time yet because I was still way too much into the music. So it went by the wayside. But about, it's 4 years ago now, I had a complete breakdown and burnout at work because as a freelance translator, the pressure is very much on. You have to always provide, no matter how tough the deadline, because if you don't, somebody else will. It's as simple as that. And your work goes just like that. So there was a period, because I was into financial translation from German into English, and the German companies I translated for had their tax year end on the 31st of December. January, February, March was always a madly busy time because everyone needed their financial statements translated just on time for the 1st of April, which is one of those official deadlines. So I had actually been working flat out 16 hours a day minimum, 7 days a week for over 2 months.
Oh, wow.
So, one day I actually found myself waking up, not knowing where I am, until I realized I'd actually passed out on my computer keyboard and had been sleeping on the computer with literally with my forehead on the keys.
Wow.
And that day I just woke up, and it's the first time in my life I've actually cried until I couldn't cry no more. I just woke up and thought to myself, well, is this actually all still worth it? You know, is this what life is all about now? Just this computer? You know, I was physically at an end. I was emotionally at an end. You can truly say it was real burnout. So I then just took the entire day off. I cancelled everything. I didn't care if the clients were never going to come back to me. I just cancelled the lot that I cannot deliver your deadline. Sorry. And when I finally took that time off for myself and I started to breathe, I started to remember that a long, long time ago, I had been attuned to Reiki. So out of sheer desperation, I started giving myself a treatment. And the difference was almost immediate. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It was so profound, you know, suddenly having some stillness there and clearing the mind. And I got this light bulb moment, and I thought to myself, you know, this Reiki, this is really what I want to do. And I decided there and then on the spot that I was going to change my life, and I did after that. Excuse me.
Yeah, you okay?
Yep, I'm fine.
So at that point, you were just like, I'm done. So did you just like drop all your clients and that was it, or was it a slow transition out?
It was a slow transition because obviously bills still needed paying. So there had to be some reason to it. But I still completed the last few jobs that I had from that batch. But after that, I started actually turning work down. So I was taking it down to a more manageable level, something that was more human-like, more like a normal 8-hour working day. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I started spending my spare time on learning all these new skills and deciding to build up another business.
And I love how you just used the word, that word manageable just really stood out to me, because it's that whole feeling that when we decide to make a change, when we really have those, you know, it's used so often the word, but those aha moments where it's like, yeah, this is changing. It feels different in your body, doesn't it?
It does entirely. I mean, it started with me. It started the very moment on that bad day when I decided to give myself my own Reiki treatment. I suddenly felt my body relax, and I could physically feel the difference between all those hunched up shoulders, the tension headache, you know, every muscle in my body hurting through the sheer tension of it, then suddenly releasing all that and feeling what a soft body actually feels like.
Yeah, feeling what a soft body actually feels like. It's, we spend so much time, and it's so much of the reason too why I started I Am Creative, is that that whole hunched up shoulders up to your ears and the on being on autopilot and just going, but not actually taking time and giving yourself permission to actually breathe, but to, you know, be inspired and find out what interests you and actually be here in this life instead of be an active participant, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
so
for me,
go ahead. I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
go on.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. For me, one of the really big aha moments was actually to realize that it's okay to say no. Because I'd actually been working from a position of fear, always the fear that my clients wouldn't come back if I turned down work, that they would go to someone else because the industry is so competitive. But it actually turned out when I did start saying no, my clients didn't go away because they actually valued the quality of my work enough to accept when I told them, sorry, I'm busy, I'm fully booked. And that was a complete revelation to me. I'd actually been doing all this pressure to myself just out of pure fear of lack, really. That it's the lack mentality, you know, always living in fear that you won't have enough.
Yeah.
And when I managed to kick that habit and also learn to say the word no, life changed entirely.
Oh, my gosh. You hear that, everybody? That is so important. This whole, you're so exactly right. Because when you're in that position of fear, which we put ourselves into, and it's a societal thing too, but we're in that space. But then we decide to take control and say no, because we're valuing ourselves and our time and our, you know, creating boundaries. And then people are like, oh, they respect you for that. And they're like, oh, she's really busy. She must be good at what she does. Like, it's totally different.
Absolutely. Because that is one of the strange things that did happen. The day I started saying no, I got even more work offers. Exactly that. People do think that, oh, you're so busy that you must be really good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get to the second question because we're slowly getting close to the top of the hour and I want to make sure we get all this in. Good stuff. So, and again, I want to recognize the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate it. Feel free to type in any questions or comments into the chat box so we can see them. Silky, how do you incorporate, we've talked about some stuff, but how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
I incorporate creativity by going out into nature. For me, that's very important to get my creativity. I'm out in nature every single day, walking my dog. I make a point of playing every day because that's so important. Because most of us adults have forgotten how to play properly, how to have fun like a child. And it's in those moments when you actually play and you let go and you really are just enjoying the moment, that's when your most creative ideas come through. So every single day I go out in my lunch break with my dog. I leave the mobile phone at home. And for that entire hour, nothing else matters but me and the dog. And we play, and I throw sticks for her, and we run together. And if it's raining, we jump into puddles together. And that, for me, is absolutely essential to get my creative juices then going for the rest of the day. And then my creativity comes mostly out in my storytelling, my writing, and also in my videos, photos, etc.
Tell us about your publishing house.
Recently, just a few months ago, I started Inner Hippie Books, which is a natural extension of the Inner Hippie Club. So, at the Inner Hippie Club, I work with women who've lost their mojo, and I help them release their inner hippie again, that wild teenage feeling before life got serious. And then in Inner Hippie Books, I provide a virtual fireside, a platform where inspiring women can tell their story to the world of how they've overcome adversity, how they've broken free from society's expectations, and how they're now leading their own fulfilled and aligned dream lives.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think that you would have a publishing house?
Absolutely not. No, no. That's another brand new thing in the life path of Harvey.
Isn't it funny? Because we're in the same group, being mentored by the same person. And in starting ours, I love the title of yours, Inner Hippie Books. That's so, yeah, it's amazing. So for me, Express Yourself Publishing, and I never knew that this was going to happen. But it's so interesting because I just found a piece of paper that I wrote probably 2 to 3 years ago where I kind of made a list of things I wanted to prioritize. I did 1, 2, and 3. And in the third column, it said, create books for I Am Creative. So I was like, oh my gosh, okay, well, there we go. The seed was planted back then, and it just, it grew this year.
Absolutely. Well, the seeds with me have actually been there since childhood because I'm a complete bookworm. I mean, I live and breathe books. I've read every book under the sun and got piles of them. So many, in fact, that half of the time I've got to read them and get rid of them again because I'm running out of space in my shelves. So I was writing my own book, and in fact, I still am, and was starting to research how I could go about publishing it. And then that's when I came across the whole idea of publishing houses, female publishing houses, and that you can actually start your own company as a publishing company. So I was thinking, well, I've got experience in publishing in a way because I used to run my own indie label alongside with our music career. I love books. So what the hell? It's nothing new to me. It's just like a new format, and it's something I absolutely love and adore. So it was a no-brainer to say yes. Instead of just publishing a book, what the hell, I'll start my own publishing company.
And what's amazing with it is it's a legit business where it's really within this, there's solo books, and within the multi-author book platform, it's like you said, it's a natural arm for you off of your Inner Hippie Club. For me, it's a natural arm off of, you know, I Am Creative and giving people a voice. For people to be able to share their stories, it's just such an amazing feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's absolutely essential nowadays, especially for women. I mean, I've decided to focus my business on women only because I've come across a lot of inequality still, especially in the publishing world. And even though nowadays we've come a long, long way in terms of women's equal rights, it's still not really all there. I mean, women still have a struggle in many industries, and there is still this old ancestral wound going on from the burning times where women were basically made to shut up and put up. And it's so deeply ingrained in society that even to this day, a lot of women are being taught to basically be seen but not heard, and always be pretty, always do as you're told, and always follow the path that your family and friends are telling you. And the only way for women to rise above that and finally break with this old ancestral wound and try to get rid of all the old hurt that is still there through our ancestors is to tell their stories. Because if one woman tells a story of her courageous life, it can inspire hundreds or even thousands of other women who will read it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. I have one particular contributor in my book that's going to be released mid-September that she's very confident in where she stands right now. But she's like, I'm going to get slack from a lot of people. She's like, but you know what? I don't care. Like, she's in a space where she's just like, I am not stopping from being told there was so much trauma in her life that she's overcome and dealt with through her own trainings in order to then be able to empower other people to get back on their feet, that mm-hmm. she's just like, it's not stopping me. I have to tell my story.
Absolutely. I have a couple of women in my upcoming book as well, and they're in the same position. I mean, they've gone through a lot. I mean, more than we could imagine. One lady comes from a different cultural background where women have got a much harder time than even in our Western society. Yeah. And she's managed to break free of it and go her own path, even move to a different country. So there are some very, very courageous stories there that just need telling. They're worth telling.
Yeah, they're worth it. That's the point. Yeah. And they're going to reach so many other people that are just going to feel more empowered. And like we kind of said in the beginning, kind of make it feel like you're not crazy and give you hope. Other people need to hear this.
Absolutely.
So before we get to the last question, since we are getting closer to the top of the hour, I want to touch on these two things which were in your bio that I think are just so interesting, if you could just clarify. The chakra dancing facilitator and the animal healing graduate.
Right, so chakra dancing is a form of moving meditation. And obviously as a Reiki healer, I work a lot with the chakras. And chakra dancing is a free-moving dance. There are no steps. And you dance through seven pieces of music. Each piece of music is attuned to one of the chakras. And also, it sort of has the feeling of that chakra. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the root chakra music would be very tribal, very drummy. Mm-hmm. And then it gets lighter and lighter until the crown chakra is almost just like an angelic type of piece of music. And when you're dancing through the chakras, you let your body do entirely what it wants. You go with the flow and with the feeling. So if you feel like really freaking out to a fast drum beat on the solar plexus, go for it. If you don't want to move at all and you just stand there and let the music go through you, that's fine as well. So every person expresses themselves in their own way to the music, and through that then releases all the blockages in the energy field and gets the energy flowing freely again through the chakra system.
Gosh, I have never actually, I've never heard of chakra dancing, honestly. And it sounds like incredible.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty niche and not very common. I mean, things like five rhythms are much more popular, but it's going in that direction. If anybody has done the five rhythms before, it's similar to that, but not quite the same. But I actually find chakra dancing extremely beneficial because most people think that meditation has to do with sitting somewhere cross-legged in a room filled with incense. But it doesn't have to. You can actually meditate whilst moving. And I personally find I meditate better when I'm moving. It gets me much more out of my own head and into that sort of, how do you call it, empty space where you actually become a vessel to get all those insights from spirit.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I appreciate that being said, because I think in acknowledging the way that people learn differently and the way people experience things differently, because it is a very common thing. People are like, I can't meditate. I think too much. I'm just too in my head. I just have these thoughts continuously and I can't get into that space. But I personally do love that idea of moving meditation as well. I consider a walk also a moving meditation when you kind of get yourself into that space. But this chakra dancing sounds incredibly powerful.
It is. It is. And at my workshops, I've seen some amazing transformations. It really can loosen up blockages in just one session.
Wow. So tell us also about the animal healing.
Okay, so the same lady who taught me the chakra dancing is also an animal healer, which is basically energy healing for animals. And I started with her for a whole year. And it's basically all about communicating with the animal and giving them energy healing treatments. But also we learned everything there is to learn about the right nutrition for your pet and how different species of animals have to be kept properly. Yeah. And also anatomy, everything you need to know. So when I give an animal treatment, I am not a vet. I always tell that people straight off, but I can supplement what the vet does. If a vet, for example, has diagnosed an animal has got arthritis, I can already then advise the pet owner, well, this and this diet would be best for you. I can give the animal some healing, which in essence is not that much different to Reiki. It's the same energy you're using. So it's a whole holistic package. And I even discuss with the animal owners, like the circumstances in the house, and find out some of the reasons why an animal may be behaving in a certain way, because animal owners don't always realize that, for example, a dog is anxious only because they have moved something slightly in their room, or because he wants to go out at a certain time of day and the owners are at work. And you know that there are certain animal behaviors that humans don't always think about, but if you start tuning into the animal and are very sensitive to it, you can just make very slight adjustment to your own routine to make your pet happy again.
Yeah, thank you for that, because animals are such amazing creatures. And that whole thing with the environment as well. It's like we often don't stop to think about that. And it's huge components of things. And I can say that we have one of our cats. He has outlived his diagnosis, I think about 2.5 years. He was given 6 to 10 months. And he's just like a miracle cat. And we thought we'd have to, anyway, he started improving after the initial diagnoses. And then he started to go downhill the day before we were supposed to go on vacation. I'm like, something isn't right. We took him. They came back and said that we would consider putting him down. And I was like, wait a minute, I want to contact this other vet. We actually did acupuncture for him. And he is on some meds, but yeah, I think it's been about 2 years. The vet that we're going to now she's a holistic vet and does regular medicine, but she's like, I'm not even going to ask. He's just a miracle.
That is so wonderful.
So grateful. We also played vibrational music for him when he'd be sleeping. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows? I would just have like healing music and all this stuff around him. And I don't know.
That is very, very beneficial, because actually vibrational healing is one of the most ancient healing forms. I think it was around in the old Egypt already. The old Egyptian healers used vibration to heal certain illnesses. So you can never go wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely a success. So here we go. So we are at our third question, and it's everything we've kind of touched on, but we're kind of wrapping it up and putting a nice little bow on it so why is creativity important?
Creativity is important because it actually is in every part of our lives. It enriches our lives. Without creativity, life would be gray and boring and very depressing. With creativity, you immediately have color in your life. You have more of a positive outlook. You can think of new opportunities. And you also learn how to enjoy yourself. If you learn how to release your creativity, you automatically also learn how to have joy, how to have fun. And you also know what your true purpose in life is, because with creativity, you can figure that out, what it is you are here on this planet to do.
Whew. Well, that just kind of makes it sound really important, doesn't it?
Just a bit.
It's not like this thing where, oh, people say, oh, creativity is so cute. So nice that you get to do these crafty things. Mm-hmm. And because that's the societal definition so often, or drawing and painting. But here, in you saying that creativity is important because it enriches our lives, because it'd be gray and boring, depressing. It gives you immediate color, new opportunities, learn how to have joy. That's kind of like everything we want in our lives.
Absolutely. I mean, creativity really is everything. Somebody who is managing to solve some very complicated mathematical riddle or some computer code is just as creative as a person who's been sitting down with a paintbrush and an easel, because both of these things require creative thinking, that type of thinking when you're not inside the box and you're trying something new, what we said about earlier. So every single person on this planet is creative in their own way, and they can express that creativity. And as long as they do that, their life will be rich and purposeful.
Oh my God, that is such a beautiful note to end it on. Because exactly, it's like not inside the box. We're constantly problem solving, looking at things from different angles. And if we're repressing and not expressing, that's when we get disease and all of this stuff that are icky feelings that we don't want to feel and not very productive. So, that's just incredible. So, Silke, can you please let everybody know how they can find you?
You can find me very easily at www.innerhippiebooks.com. You can also write to me at silke@innerhippiebooks.com. And you can also look me up on Facebook, where my username is just silke.harvey.
Okay, great. And I will put all of this in the bio when this is released. Silke, thank you so much for taking this hour to be with us, and also at 1 a.m. for you now in the morning. So appreciate your time in this conversation.
You're very welcome. I'm honored to be here.
And I want to thank everybody that was with us here live, and people catching the replay. We so, so, so appreciate you. This place is all about inspiring each other, sharing stories, and connecting. So please like, follow, and share, give a review, all of this good stuff to boost up all those algorithms so we can share these stories, because we have always needed them. We've always needed this inspiration, but now we need them more than ever. So again, you are so appreciated. We wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and be talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shui, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice, everybody has an expression, and I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.